Welcome to the MEFG Global Markets Podcast with Essam Koman, Head of M&A Research and Strategy. It's Friday, 21st August 2020, and we're publishing this podcast on MEFGEMEA.com, Stitcher, Spotify, and Apple Podcasts. Essam, there has been a lot of attention on the return of US shale oil to the market following disruption due to COVID-19. Where are we with this?
Thanks a lot, Erna. So yes, so to succinctly put it, US NYMEX WTI oil prices have been trading north of $40 per barrel for more than 6 or so weeks now, which is enough to bring the shut-in US oil production that has occurred since April back online, but really not enough to drill new ones and offset base declines. And so at the peak of the COVID-19 disruptions, we estimate that roughly 1.9 to 2.2 million barrels of US production was either shut in or curtailed as prices fell below operating costs. Now, these wells have been returning to production since the start of July, with the majority of shuttered production expected to be back online by September. And this is likely to cause an increase in US output in August and in September, which may be misinterpreted by the market as a turning point. And indeed, according to our estimates, this period of growth will be short-lived and won't be able to offset the collapse in oilfield activity for long. And our estimates suggest that to sustain April production rates flat across the US shale space, total monthly completion need to average in excess of 1,000 per month without a significant improvement in productivity. So we're talking roughly around 4x higher than the 262 completions that happened in July. And now, should these completions flatline at July levels, then we expect US production will decline by roughly 2.5 to 2.8 million barrels per day from April to year end of this year, as the contribution of supply from new wells won't be enough to offset some of these base declines in the existing well stock. And just one final comment on this. While we see the economics of the new wells are not operational at prevailing WTI prices, the quarterly Dallas Fed survey provides very good insight into the price levels supporting the economics of the US shale basins. And it shows that the WTI prices below $50 per barrel are not enough for the average US E&P to break even on a new well. So according to the Q1 2020 survey, the average price required to profitably drill a new well is roughly around $50 per barrel, so nearly $7 per barrel above current WTI prices. And average operating costs, that's cash costs break even for shale wells, is roughly around $25 to $30. And so this elucidates as to why so much US supply was forced to shut in over April and May, as those operators with little or no hedging protection essentially were producing below cash costs. But much of this output is now returning. And again, we need to make the distinction between shuttered production that is coming back online, and but current oil price levels are not nearly high enough to stimulate a considerable recovery in new activity in the majority of the US shale space.
And what are you then suggesting, Essam, as the price level for shale activity to meaningfully pick up?
Sure. So a few select US EMPs can profitably drill a new well at current prices, though the average EMP requires roughly around $50 per barrel to break even at the well level, and indeed even higher prices to break even from a full cycle and corporate level perspective. Now, prior to the price floor, most US EMPs were struggling to deliver positive free cash flow, and many were struggling with high debt levels. And the collapse in operating cash flows in the second quarter of this year will essentially worsen the solvency situation for the sector and will push the more vulnerable EMPs into bankruptcy. Now, the weaker financial position of many EMPs and lower oil prices will limit the sector's ability to grow over the next, say, 12 to 18 months. And on the whole, granted, the prevailing oil market deficit that has carved out a cyclical bottom in prices, so we're talking, you know, Brent at roughly $35 per barrel and WTI at roughly $30 per barrel, but we believe this clear distinction is warranted. So granted, shuttered production is coming back online and US output likely is set to rise in the coming months, but this is not nearly enough to stimulate a considerable recovery in new activity in the major of the US shale acreage. And now, when examining and drilling down on the basin level, we believe that US supply growth will become even more dependent on the Permian Basin than in previous cycles. So the Permian has a number of key advantages, such as the size of the resource. You know, you have the quality of operators, infrastructure connections, as well as best-in-class economics, really. And we expect the Permian Basin to return to 2019 levels by the first half of roughly around 2022. And in contrast, we expect the downturn to hit other basins disproportionately hard. And we think that most will not surpass 2019 peaks for at least the next 3 years.
Okay, and so finally, Ehsan, is it right to say that the US is losing its global oil market status as the growth engine?
This is a great question. So, Ona, the US tight oil sector has been the dominant source of global liquid supply growth over the last 3 years. So it's grown roughly around 3.5 to 4 million barrels per day from 2017 to 2019. And prior to COVID-driven price collapse, the US supply growth, while slowing, would help fill the supply gap left by falling conventional supply. Now, this outlook has changed substantially, and we forecast US shale supply to decline by 0.9 million barrels per day in 2020 and a further 0.4 million barrels per day in 2021. And we don't essentially expect US supply to reach pre-COVID levels until 2023. So as demand is expected to recover, so we have, you know, reopenings going on, the US's ability to bring back supply will be hampered by the reduction in CapEx over 2020 and the weaker financial position of many operators have found themselves in. And the fall in US supply will essentially enable OPEC, primarily Saudi Arabia and Russia, when we talk about OPEC Plus, to raise production from current levels to meet the recovery in demand. So on net, yes, despite this significant shale scale back, we view that the industry is set to survive in a more consolidated, healthier contour, but under stress near term, but promising outlook long term. So to succinctly put it, the US shale is down, but certainly not out.
Okay, thanks very much for your insight, Ehsan. Have a good week, and we'll speak to you next week.
Thanks a lot, Ona. Talk soon.
Thank you for listening to this MUFG Global Markets podcast. Rate, review, and subscribe, and reach out to your MUFG sales rep for any further information. Check back next week for more insights from our global markets research team.